This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves, kicking off hour two on a Thursday alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Need to follow up on something from last segment. You're making it seem like I hate everything about Milwaukee. We had 10 seconds before we had to go to break, so I don't have enough time to elaborate and expand on my thought at all, and you made me feel terrible.
You're the one that said it. If you feel guilty about what you said, it's not my problem.
No, okay. And so for context for anyone who's just joining us, what a way to kick off the hour. We were talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo because our producer Brian pitched the idea of Giannis.
Producer Brian just had a banger right before. I want to wipe tears out of my eyes.
Giannis going to the Lakers with the new ownership thing, and you said no, absolutely not. But my thing was just on him going elsewhere in general. Like, I would not be shocked. I don't know if loyalty means that much when you've already won a title somewhere. As far as a place to live, I'm the weather doesn't sound awesome, so that's all I'm saying. The market, not as big as other places where you are one of the stars in the league. And going into next year, you don't have your, like, Robin to your Batman and Damian Lillard, who's going to be injured for the full year. So if there's nothing there to build around you to really give you another chance at a title, why not try to move on?
That sounds,
that's all I'm saying.
The sound is the citizens of Milwaukee putting away their pitchforks. They understand now.
I hate you so much. Have you been hearing anything new on Kevin Durant?
No, not really. I saw a fake tweet the other day that said he
was
traded.
Did it get you?
No, not at all. I do like to retweet fake things on purpose, though, just to kind of like lob the grenade and see what happens and trick some people. But no, this one was that he had already been traded. And I was like, I feel like that's not real. And sure enough, it was not. But no, no developments in any way, shape, or form. We should note today, not a big betting thing, but Ime Udoka did get a contract extension. A big middle finger to the New York Knicks, who were trying to steal him away.
Okay. And the Rockets a potential destination for KD as well, right? That's one of the
One of the places he wants to be at. It'll be interesting to see what package. The Toronto Raptors have actually offered a really good package for him, so I'm surprised. Like, it goes back to the whole Damian Lillard thing when they were getting, you know, when he was going to get traded. And, you know, shockingly, all these people in South Beach thought, you should trade him to the place he wants to go despite the package not being great. You owe it to him. They're not saying the same thing about Kevin Durant, even though the package that Toronto was offering, I believe it was Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett, Jakob Poeltl, and like the ninth overall selection. That is a very good deal for a guy like KD. So we'll see what happens. But no, nothing new.
Okay, we will have more basketball this hour, obviously, with Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming on tonight. Will the Pacers be done? OKC close this thing out, or can they live for another game, force a game 7? We'll see. Tom Byrne hosted Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight. He's going to join us a little bit later on, about 30 minutes. We will also hear some sound from Tyrese Halliburton, who's dealing with that calf strain. His thoughts coming into tonight. A few actually interesting, fun sound bites we're going to go through in Lost in Translation. Best bets at the end of the hour. We're going to kick things off, though, with a little Major League Baseball. A handful of games that are pretty interesting. One actually that you asked our own Greg Peterson about in hour one. The Yankees, whose skid continues, they've dropped 6 straight. Scoring has been abysmal. Finally got a couple runs yesterday, but in another loss, 3-2 loss to the Angels. Those 2 runs are their only runs in their last 4 games, and they are a huge favorite today, even on the run line, like minus 150.
And the total's up to 10.
Yep.
Multiple spots, shaded to the over, and I agree. Actually, I did bet team total over for the Yankees today. Over 5.5, minus 140. As I put in the article today, if not now, when? Because this makes way too much sense that this would happen. To put some more, like you're talking about, 3 of 29, 10 strikeouts yesterday, 15 of 99 in the set, 156 over the last 7 games. It's been absolutely brutal. But you get Tyler Anderson, so there's 2 things that work for you here, and you're opposing Tyler Anderson. First off, Anderson in abysmal form. We talked about this. It was you or Greg that mentioned the 14 earned runs allowed over his last 3 starts. 2 of those were on the road against AL East foes, for whatever that's worth. And in those 2 starts, 11 of his 14 earned on the road this season. He owns a 6.31 ERA, 6.01 FIP. Even worse, he is left-handed. I do not hate left-handed people, but the Yankees mash lefties this year. If you look at it, second in WOBA, second in weighted to runs created plus, second most home runs against southpaws, 3rd in ISO against left-handed pitchers. So, again, if not now, win. Like, the weather is relatively clear. There will be rain in New York, but it should come well after the game. There is really no indications that it's going to be during this one. And to be somewhat fair for this team, if you actually look over the course of this drought that they're in, they're also hitting 206 on balls in play, Stormy. Like, that's pretty bad luck. So even if you've watched, so, you know, I've watched quite a bit of this series again, you know, obviously because I'm an Angels guy, so I've watched quite a bit of the series. even you watch, there's a lot of these balls. You're like, man, can you get any worse luck? Just slapping it straight to defenders, things like that. I think everything is on the table for them to have a pretty strong bounce back and avoid the sweep. A four-game sweep, obviously, would be pretty great for the Angels. Not too bad for this team, but I think everything's on the table for them to bounce back in an offensive way. So Yankees team total over 5.5, minus 140. I'd also note, I think you could also go like run line if you wanted to tonight, too. The Angels are the antithesis of the Yankees. They are awful against lefties, and Rodon's on the hill today. He should be able to tear them up and hold them down. And I think this is one where it's like, dude, if they don't do it today, they're screwed. They're going to be fine, but it would be incredible if there's so many indicators they should bounce back here today.
Like you said, full write-up from JVT up at VSiN.com right now. If you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, don't get any article limits on those. You can read from JVT. You can read the write-ups that Greg has on the full slate today. All that good stuff up right now at VSiN.com. Speaking of lineups that really struggle against left-handed pitching, the Pirates are another one of those. Pirates and Tigers with a doubleheader today. I know you said you don't think we get to game two, so let's focus on game one here. Skubal is so good. This Pirates lineup, I expect them to struggle against him. 7-2, sub-2 ERA. Goes deep into games. You're getting 7-8 innings. Giving up just one run, and I think it is his last like 30 and two-thirds innings for him. They're huge favorites, minus 350, even the run line, still minus 180. Low total as expected against your boy, the Heen Dog. The run total, 7. The first 5 run line was what I was looking at here.
Wasn't this one of yours yesterday? Got postponed?
Yes.
Am I wrong?
Okay. Yes. So I'm kind of this wasn't a best bet. It was just a game that I liked, I think that I am going to fire on it after all today, now that I've had the 24 hours to think about it.
Yeah, I would generally agree with everything here, especially when you look at Andrew Heaney. We've covered some of the numbers for him, but the differential, the 3.33 ERA, but the 4.42 FIP, the expected numbers are higher than what the ERA indicates here, too. This is not somebody who's been living off of some pretty good luck, but like, he's done a pretty good job of, I think, taking advantage of the lesser lineups that he's facing. Then he's gotten bombed by some of the better lineups. But you look across the board, really, from a swing and miss perspective, only gets guys to chase out of the zone. Can't really challenge them. They don't really swing and miss a ton against him. He doesn't strike out a lot of guys. He's going to give up contact. Ranks under the 50th percentile of both hard hit rate and barrel rate. This is a lineup that should be able to get to him. And like you mentioned, I mean, why would we believe anything else than Skubal coming out here and absolutely dominating a Pirates lineup that's one of the worst in Major League Baseball? So it's the tough part about it, right? There's a lot of big prices. So you're going to have to decide what you want to do here if you're somebody who is adverse to laying big prices. But again, if there's an edge, there's an edge. And the market thought this. Some places opened 315, and we're upwards of minus 340, minus 355. So even the market deemed there were some value and some pretty big prices here today.
The F5, you can get an under 4 at minus 145. Mm-hmm. And I think that one's kind of an intriguing option here also. Padres-Dodgers, Yoshinobu Yamamoto going for LA, and he's been pretty damn good this year, safe to say. They are big favorites as well, minus 267, Padres plus 213. The Dodgers' bullpen is pretty thin, though, so for as good as Yamamoto has been, is maybe this price a little bit too big against the Padres, or am I reading too much into this?
Really quick, because I was looking for this number, just to go back just really quickly. You can also go earned runs allowed under for Tarik Skubal if you want. A little bit more palatable.
What is that?
Under 1.5 at minus 185. So again, if you're adverse to prices, there's different ways to attack Skubal's success outside of some other things. To this point, we're talking about our guy Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yamamoto's been an interesting cat to kind of follow. We've talked about some of the blowups that he's had at times. A lot of it has to do with the command issues that he has kind of shown. Look at his last start. It was against the San Francisco Giants. It was on a Friday when we were out in Omaha. 4 2/3, 5 earned runs, 5 walks, and gave up 2 homers. So when Yamamoto's off, and I think Mike Palm's done a brilliant job of this, when we've talked about him a lot with Palm, when he's not able to find his spot, when he's just not really active in terms of putting the ball where it needs to be, it can get pretty ugly. He's also going to walk some guys, too. I would lean a little bit towards the San Diego Padres, but nothing strong here at all that made me think about it, that made me play it. Burgert's going to get the start here for San Diego. If you look at the underlying stuff, there's some good stuff there, but he's also a guy that hasn't started many games here so far this year. Just 3 starts. It's been each of his last 3, and the results have actually been pretty good, and all on the road. San Francisco, Milwaukee, and Arizona. So maybe he's going to come out here and put him in position, but I generally haven't seen enough that would make me think that I'm running to the window to go and back him. And if Yamamoto's on, he's on. Yeah. I thought this was relatively accurately priced.
Okay. I know one of the many things that upset you coming into today was how many games there were on the MLB slate, but were there any other ones that stood out to you?
Very true. I will not back down from that. I thought today was a moving day, and no, it was not. We talked about it a little bit, but I am hoping to see Skeens pitch later today against Keiter Montero. That would be pretty good. And then Orioles and Rays, I think, have some morbid curiosity. I think if you remember, this was out in Omaha as well. We talked about Morton start against the Angels and how over the last like 6-7 appearances or so, Morton had really started to turn it around. Well, against the Angels, he really turned it around. He had 5 innings pitched, 10 strikeouts, 1 walk. This has been a growing sample size of Morton starting to pitch at a much better level. We saw the market move in his favor in that start last, I think it was Friday, and we're seeing it again here. We saw some spots open as $1.50 in favor of Rasmussen, but it's starting to move in Baltimore's direction. Some spots now like -132, as low as -128, where we're standing right here. I think Morton's kind of a play-on guy. I think he's gotten better, especially since they've entered him into the rotation, and I think he's a dude that if you're not too shy or if you think there's still an edge, I think he's in for a pretty good performance again here. I think the turnaround's legit for Morton.
Okay.
I know you hate the Orioles, but it might be time to come to terms with the fact that they're playing a little bit better.
Well, and I was going to ask you, I know you hate the Braves, but somebody else is playing a little bit better right now. Any interest on that to make the playoffs? No?
They're cooked. I can't back down on my stance that the Braves are cooked. You can't do these things. It's not okay.
And yet, they're doing it.
5.5 games out of a wild card. Phillies, Giants, Padres. Phillies, Giants, Padres, Brewers, Reds. Who do you think they leap?
There's a long way to go. Long way to go. I mean, you know my stance on Milwaukee. So.
Of course, yes. Very anti-Milwaukee.
We're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. Lost in Translation, some interesting sound from the world of sports next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Smarter this season, start with VSiN Pro for limited time. Grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175. That'll give you full access from everything we do here at the network through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows through the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com, and so much more. Don't miss out. We've got our early bird deal going on at VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock it in. $175. VSiN.com/subscribe. You said we got a little delay already.
Yeah, so two things to update for baseball. First off, your game here that we were talking about, Pirates and Tigers, already in a rain delay.
Classic.
So we'll see. A lot of inclement weather kind of in that area of the country. Obviously, yesterday was a big weather day, as we mentioned, and then quite a few games got postponed. The other I wanted to note is Mike Trout has just gone yard. So it was 1-0 Angels there in the top of the first. The over was a popular play there, so you get an early run. Yes run, first inning cashes. But I just wanted to note, and it goes back to something we brought up yesterday, which was kind of this attraction to the Angels who are playing really well and maybe could win a four-game or sweep a four-game set from the Yankees. Since coming back from injury, Mike Trout is hitting .313. He is walking about 14% of the time. This is his third homer in now 77 plate appearances since his return from injury. He's hitting the ball a lot better. He was not hitting for average before he got hurt. Now he's come back. The average is slowly increasing, still hitting for a little bit of power. So to the point of the Angels, 9-1 to make the playoffs, the attraction of whether or not they could do it. If Trout continues to hit like that and they can get, like Kahanowitz yesterday, part of maybe the explanation that he shut down the Yankees, he has a new grip on his changeup, so that really helped him out. Maybe there's something to this team at least making a push. Again, I feel pretty confident they should get over 71.5 wins, which is their win total. Mm-hmm. But if Trout's going to start to hit like this, look out. This team actually could maybe do some damage.
10-5 in the month of June. Yeah. That getting swept by the Orioles, looking better, to your point, with how well they have played in June. Yep. But, I mean, it's been a solid month for them to this point. We'll get a little bit more MLB coming up in the next segment when Tom Byrne of Mad Dog Sports Radio joins us. He's got a few bets coming up in the evening, but there are a handful of sound bites and different things that we wanted to get into across the sports world in this segment. We're going to start in the NBA Finals Game 6. Tyrese Haliburton, we've detailed it at length, dealing with a calf strain. Well, he detailed at length the process with which he is working to get that calf in full form coming into tonight.
As I can, massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as, you know, as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape and stuff, you know, while I am performing. And I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who could give you a better answer. But just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
Sham Sharania earlier this morning on the Pat McAfee show said Tyrese Haliburton is absolutely going to go out there and play tonight. Tyrese also added in that availability, quote, "I have to understand the risks, ask the right questions, but I'm a competitor. I want to play. I'm going to do everything in my power to play," which is the expectation.
Yeah, look, we've been pretty consistent on this show. He's going to play. I don't think there's really any doubt about it. The question is just, again, are you going to get from it and how you handle it? So that is going to be, I think, pretty interesting, is just that and how the market really prices that out. But I'm adamant he's out there. I just have to watch to see what's going to happen. So certain spots, BetMGM, DraftKings, I think FanDuel has it as well. You have adjusted in-game player props. Just watch. See what he's doing. See how they're playing him. And see how you can handle it from there.
The one thing I was intrigued by betting-wise on Haliburton today was, and I can't find it anymore on DraftKings. They only have the 3+, 4+, et cetera market. FanDuel didn't have Haliburton as an option in this market, but his point total for the first quarter was 3.5. And even when healthy, going through his game logs for this series, he has not had good starts. He has only gone over 3.5 points in one game so far of the five that he's played to this point, obviously scoreless this past game in game 5, but 5 of 14 from the floor in the first quarter of this series. So that was something that I was looking at, but now I can't find it anymore. Maybe it was Bet365 or something that still had it, but FanDuel didn't even have him as an option, yeah. And DraftKings did have the market, and then it went away.
Yeah, it's one of those things I guess if you're really trying to play, not psychologist, but you know, whatever, like you're probably feeling your best at the beginning of the game, right? Because then as the game goes along, it's the same thing where we talk about back-to-backs, where generally, if you talk to people, I think fatigue manifests later in games than it does at the beginning. So if you're playing the second leg of back-to-back, it's the beginning of the game, whatever it is. But then as the minutes start to grow, that's when you really start to feel it. I think it's the same thing with injury, right? Hey, it's the NBA Finals. We're going to get eliminated. So maybe you get the best effort at the beginning, and then as the game goes along, he probably starts to slow down.
I agree, like in concept. Yeah. Just in my brain, he hasn't been very good in the first
quarter. Sure, of course. And then he's going to come out, hit a three, and then he's going to get fouled on the three, and then he's going to get 4 points in like the first shot
attempt. Kill me. I haven't bet it, but just something I was looking at.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup final wrapped up. Obviously, the Florida Panthers win it all. Great story. And it's immediately following the game that you start learning about all the injuries that these guys had. You heard Matthew Tkachuk on the ice in the postgame talk about how he had torn his adductor off the bone. He had a hernia as well going through. Wasn't even sure if he was going to be able to play in the playoffs at all. And then we see yesterday Alexander Barkov with just a full split in his hand, if we want to throw this picture up. The sutures had to be reset in twice. They glued it together. And he was awesome this series, too. The point production wasn't there throughout, but the job that he had to do defensively. Can you imagine holding a stick with that on your hand?
No, I would pass.
It's such a physical sport.
Yeah, I stub my toe and I'm like, I'm done for the day. So no, I would not like that to happen. I've also had I think we've all experienced it where cuts reopen, things like that, and those are somewhat minor.
I get a paper cut on my finger and like my life is over and trying to do anything with my hands, let alone that.
No, thank you.
I saw the video of Barkov on the Ring doorbell going up to his neighbors.
Yeah, I didn't watch the whole thing. So what was that?
He brings the cup to them. It's like 5 o'clock in the morning. He's going through the neighborhood because everybody knows that he's playing and they're fans and friends with a lot of
their
neighbors.
Oh, so that was like he knew them.
Yes.
For some reason, I just assumed he was really drunk and thought that it was his house. And I did not watch the whole video. So.
One more thing. Speaking of somebody being drunk and showing up doing crazy things, how about this look from Brad Marchand celebrating another cup? He's got the cigar, an energy drink, a coffee, likely loaded with booze, could be even in the cup there. This picture is going to be his legacy. No, I love it, though. You got to enjoy it. You win a cup, you win a championship. I don't care what you do. Have a blast.
I don't think that's an energy drink. I think that's one of your drinks that you were really enjoying out there at the Omaha.
Is it?
I think that's your iced tea and vodka. What are they?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Look at the top of the can. It's the same pattern as the spike.
Sunrise or
yeah,
whatever.
Sunrise,
I can't remember what it was called, but those things were delightful.
Right. I think that's what it is.
Wow. My kind of guy.
I mean, that's kind of crazy when you're talking about, like, you know, like the Red Bull vodkas are terrible for you because essentially it's like taking your heart in two different directions. I mean, my dude's down. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got the espresso and he's got the iced tea vodka. Let's go.
Okay. Speaking of championships, and by the way, the market has moved and a handful of spots in the Florida Panthers are favored to repeat. I think a lot of people thought that the Oilers being in that spot was a little bit ridiculous, didn't make as much sense. We've seen market movement there. But speaking of championships, let's go to a team that is used to winning a lot of them in the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, fall to the Eagles this past year. Travis Kelce was on the podium yesterday talking about not being good enough in the Super Bowl at the end of the year, as well as the only thing he's interested in this season.
I just didn't make the plays that I thought I should have made. I didn't get open in certain situations. Blocking the right guys, having my attention to detail, motivating my guys to, you know, get the energy and the focus and the confidence that we needed during that game. In that area, I just felt like I failed my guys. Everybody has their own view on it. Unfortunately for me, I'm only interested in Super Bowl rings. I know what the AFC Championship means to this organization and the family, and the 15 wins and everything is something special that I let everybody else be happy with. Last year wasn't a success for me, and I'm motivated to make sure that we get that other ring this year.
He brought that up because the team was handed out their AFC Championship rings, and he wanted no part of it. The Chiefs are 8-1, fourth on the board to win the Super Bowl this year. Questions about how much longer Kelce will play beyond this year, just a one-year contract. But do you think Kansas City is a contender again this year?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense of, like, they could totally win the division, be a 10-ish win team, and go from there. But, I think there is a reality, because their defense should be very good. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a reality that we've discussed when it comes to the fate of your team, which is prolonged postseason runs having an impact on the health of your roster in a postseason or in a regular season. A team that has won these coin flips as often as they have, again, the coin flips being these one-score games, that tends to bounce back the other way. Now, again, I think they could still get all of the negative regression there and still go 10-7 and make the postseason and make a run. Like, I don't think that's anything crazy, but I think there is a reality that they could potentially take a step back from a record standpoint. I don't think that's anything crazy to talk about this year.
Win total 11.5.
Yeah.
And only a -120 favorite in the division is other teams, the Chargers, Broncos, getting much better as well. So we'll see what that ultimately looks like. Okay, we got to take a timeout. You hear that music. It means I got to shut up. When we come back, Tom Byrne, Mad Dog Sports Radio, he's going to join us, give us his thoughts on Game 6 in the NBA Finals coming up tonight, and maybe an MLB better too. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. More Money Moves after this on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pacers on the brink of elimination tonight in Game 6 against the OKC Thunder in the NBA Finals. Welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you to help us break it all down, as well as maybe get into a little MLB action. Tom Byrne joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, host of Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight and Point After. We'll also be co-hosting Ready, Set, Bet coming up this weekend on the network. Hey, Tom, how are we doing?
Guys, I'm well. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for joining us. And I saw you tweeting the other night in Game 5. You didn't like the decision from Rick Carlisle pulling McConnell and having Tyrese Halliburton take all those minutes when he was clearly hampered. It wasn't his day. With the calf strain coming in tonight, how do you view this Pacers team and questioning what we're going to get out of their star?
Well, listen, first and foremost, let me be the first to admit I've lost a lot of money because of the Pacers this offseason. I think this has been the most unpredictable run of my lifetime. Not the most significant upsets. I mean, 75 Warriors, 2004 Pistons, 2011 Mavericks. We know they're all more significant, but I do believe this Pacer team, considering the odds, second round against the Cavs. I was texting JVT. Series price is a joke. I killed the Cavs, and I got killed in turn. This team has been incredible. That said, of course, yeah, I'm doubting them again. I think, unfortunately, that this is going to be our final basketball game of the season. Halliburton's injury doesn't help. Yeah, but look, McConnell should have been in the game there. He's a spark. You know, he's not a great player, but he's a spark plug type of guy. He changes the energy quickly, and he's just better than this version of Halliburton. So that tells you all you need to know, because make no mistake, he is just an average NBA player. So that reeks of desperation if that's truly what we're getting on Carlisle for, is not going for TJ McConnell in the fourth quarter. But it speaks to the maybe not dire straits, but the tough situation the Pacers are in. Now, I think you missed the boat if you want it to lay the points. You can't lay 6.5. I'm sorry, it's just too much. But I do think the Pacers end this. I'm sorry, I do think the Thunder, rather, end this series.
Freudian slip. All right. The other aspects of this Pacers team, I've been very pro Pascal Siakam. I think he continues, especially with higher usage, Tom, to have a pretty good statistical output. Would you agree with that? Or is there anybody else outside of the obvious TJ McConnell with more run that could actually benefit from this hampering injury for one Tyrese Halliburton?
No, I think you're on to something with Siakam. I'm kicking myself like any good handicapper is. We all should have just pounced on McConnell over the points. I took him last game. 7.5. I took a little peek, saw it, 9.5. Kind of just forgot about it, to be honest with you. Then the report comes out about the calf strain, and now it's up to 10.5. And I think Halliburton's down to 13.5. The under on Halliburton, the over on McConnell still would make a little sense, but we did miss the boat on that to an extent. But to your point, Pascal Siakam's got to pick up even more of the load now. What is that at right now, JVT? What's that number looking like?
We were looking at points 21.5, and I believe points and rebounds is at 28, 29.5.
Okay, so that's, yeah, I mean, listen, I think it's close to playable territory. Siakam's had a heck of a series, though. I mean, he's a good player. We've seen this before, obviously. He played a huge role in that Toronto run. Everybody thinks about Kawhi Leonard, the quadruple doink winner. But, I mean, they had some real good talent on that team outside of just Kawhi, OG Anunoby, Fred VanVleet, and Siakam has really been excellent for Carlisle and company. So I understand the thinking there.
What about on the Thunder side of things? SGA and Jalen Williams have been awesome the last three games in this series. Are you looking to the stars or maybe elsewhere on the squad for some prop options?
Yeah, so for prop options, I'm a little thin, to be honest with you. SGA's number is just so high, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know that I want to run to play it when it gets that high. I mean, that's a Joe Public type of move. I'm not saying you can't ever play overs. Obviously, you'd be stupid not to consider it from time to time. But, you know, his number's so high. Jalen Williams coming off the 40-point effort is hot. But the tricky part about this Oklahoma City team is I barely played any props on them all season. I think they're a tougher team to handicap in terms of who's going to step up on a given night. Because one night, you know, you never expect if Kayson Wallace comes in, gives you 11, 12 points off the board, off the bench, pardon me. The next night, Caruso has a 17-point output. That's the thing that, and Indiana's got a little of this too, obviously, with the depth, the bench players and whatnot. But there are a number of guys who could kill you. Hell, Isaiah Joe could come in and hit three triples tonight, and nobody would think it's all that shocking, although he's been bad when he's gotten running the series. You get the idea. So I'm not forcing anything with the props. I'm sure I'll take another gander right before the game begins. But, yeah, I don't know that I'm seeing a hell of a lot of options. I think one thing, you know, the number's gone now, so I don't want to suggest it at this point. The under, you know, I know everybody likes the scoring and getting up and down the court and that sort of thing. But the under's been hammered for a reason in this game, because if you think that Oklahoma City is going to take control and Halliburton's absence is going to hurt the offensive output of Indiana, which makes some sense, and you look at, you know, the numbers they've gotten through the last couple of games, haven't been great, 109, 101. I think we may have missed the boat at this point, but I thought that was the best, really, play to make, even more so than laying the points early in the process.
Okay, so before we get to baseball, I'm going to try to get you to go full heel with me here. If the Thunder close this out tonight, we've been right this whole time, Tom. I mean, we're talking about blowing game one. They would close the series 4-1 straight up, and we'll see if they can cover the number here. The Pacers have been frauds this entire time, and the Thunder actually just have to kick themselves, because if they don't blow game one like they did early in the series against Denver, we're talking about this being five games like we all expected.
100%. And I'd be looking like a smart person at the moment, not a moron like I'm currently looking, because there goes you're in five and the exact order, which I would have got right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you. It's Oklahoma City's league, and you guys know this. Sam Presti was allowed to execute a Sam Hinkie-like rebuild. If you want to call it tank job, that's fair too. But that's Oklahoma City, not Philadelphia, the fourth biggest TV market. So they're able to do it. And that's the scary part of this. They are as well set up as any team in the league. This team's going to be, I hate to say it, but this team has the potential to be a dynasty. And so them winning, you know, I started to look at that. I think you did, JVT, by about the second month of the season. The only mistake I made is I hammered the exacta with the Celtics. But, I mean, we were right about how good this Oklahoma City team is. I know Denver took them seven games. Keep in mind there were two big blowouts in the series. They were game two and seven. Oklahoma City did it. I mean, I'm not putting this team up there with the all-time great teams. I'm not doing that. But some of the statistics and the numbers are going to suggest, you know what, you could have a conversation locally, at least in Oklahoma City, about that. That's how impressive this team has been.
Tom Byrne, Mad Dog Sports Radio, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's shift gears here and get into a little baseball. Four games in action right now. I guess technically three, because Pirates, Tigers in a delay here right now. But as you went through the slate today, what really stood out to you? What's the first game that came to your mind when you went through?
Yeah, I like Logan Webb in San Francisco. I laid the $1.58. I don't know that that's available anymore, but I think this is a obvious matchup you got to love on the mound. Number one, Logan Webb. Look at Skinner active ERA. He's a 2.71 guy this year. 3.26 over the last year. This year, his ranking is eighth in all of baseball. Gavin Williams, for context, is 1.28, and he has struggled more so over the last 30, whereas Webb has gotten even stronger. Obviously, you got to like that San Francisco lineup a little bit more now. They're both middle-of-the-pack lineups. San Francisco, though, weighted runs credit plus this year is 13th, to Cleveland 19. It's in San Francisco, bounce-back spot. I laid the $1.48 with Logan Webb against Gavin Williams. If you wanted to look at the first five, that would make some sense, too. I decided to go full game.
All right, what about Dodgers and Padres tonight? It's been a very good series for the Dodgers. They are going to close this thing out, or looking to close this thing out in a sweep. What do you make of Yamamoto in the start here? Anything?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they were 250 last night when I was handicapping it. That was a little steep for my blood. You got to think Yamamoto's in a good spot here. You know, don't know a hell of a lot yet from Ryan Berger. Sample size is not that big. 15 and a third innings. His Skinner active ERA this season's a 4.60. That would put him around like 145, 150, somewhere in that range. Yamamoto hasn't been as good as some people want to make it seem. 94 and a third innings. This year he's got a, 3.25 that puts him 23rd. Two good bullpens, obviously. You look at the lineups, that's where the Dodgers have a major advantage. Number one this season to the Padres, just 18. But 250, I know you can play the run line if you want to. Typically you're going to get a better value, though, laying the big number than you will run lines. People don't realize that because they just don't want to lay the big numbers. But 250 was a little too steep, and it probably, if I had to guess, is even steeper.
Last minute here, Braves and Mets going head-to-head. Braves on a nice little run here, winning five of their last six. Spencer Strider on the hill, and I know he's still Spencer Strider, but 1-5 this year hasn't been what he's been in the past. This season against Clay Holmes today in the Mets, anything you liked in that one?
Yeah, I almost took the under on the Spencer Strider prop. I had it 5-6-5. I thought there was a chance he goes under the 6.5 plus the money. I didn't fire, which, by the way, makes it a stone-cold left pipe lock. That's the type of run I've been on. But, you know, that's one I did consider. You know, this Mets team, though, is just not hitting right now. Typically, they're a top lineup. They're number three. They do very well against righties. They're fourth against righties, eighth against lefties. They're always a little bit more comfortable against the righty. I'm waiting for them to bounce back. I even have a little bit of a lean toward the Mets and Clay Holmes in this game. I'm going to ultimately stay away. But I could see why somebody would have a little faith in Spencer Strider, because when he brings his A game, there aren't many guys better. But, you know, so far the 31 innings we've seen him this year, he has not brought the A game. His Skinner active rank this year, for context, is 38th, which is not what you expect from Strider. But then positive regression, you know, has got to be coming pretty soon.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Tom, awesome stuff. Appreciate you doing this. Thank you.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Tom Byrne, everybody. Mad Dog Sports Radio tonight and Point After. And again, we'll be co-hosting here on VSiN coming up this weekend for Ready, Set, Bet. You won't want to miss it. We're going to take a timeout. We are wrapping up the show. Coming up next, best bets, final thoughts on Game 6 in the NBA Finals, and an interesting point from Mike Palm earlier this morning that we're going to play you. Don't go anywhere.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I can't back Indiana here tonight, though. I, you know, And it's a really vicious beat when you're up 10 with 30 seconds to go in the third quarter. Right, I thought that little exchange at the end of the third quarter where Siakam misses one and two and then OKC scores to end the quarter and cut it to seven.
Yeah.
That was a really important last minute of the third quarter, I thought, for the Pacers to maintain that lead. And instead it got down to seven when it could have been 12. But anyhow, you know, it's funny for us because Oklahoma City so quickly became favored during the year because of their margins of victory that we need Oklahoma City in these games. We need them for the series, which it's funny because we needed Florida. Here's a team going back to back for Stanley Cup, right? And you're needing them. The people are betting against them. Usually you would see that people are betting on those type of teams.
Yeah.
But as a bookie, you know, you end up needing what you need. But to me, I would need to get eight tonight to take the Pacers.
Casino, where we're broadcasting from, Mike Palm, JVT, Stormy Bond, and Tony with you here. How surprised were you to hear Mike say that this morning?
That they need Oklahoma City and that they needed Florida? I think it's a little surprising when you're just generally thinking about it, right? Like, I think the overall thought of the majority would be like, no, they're going to need the dog. That's what they always need, right? Public likes to pile in on the favorites, but the way that they were priced, there's not really much there. We talk about these favorites being priced to a point where the average bettor will be like, nah, I can't do that. And this Thunder team was widely considered to be, by many who I would say shaped the market in the NBA, a powerhouse, an absolute powerhouse that deserved to be supported. Mike had a great point. I think he had it with us when we were talking to him out in the out in Omaha, which was when we were talking about the context of the series before it started, -1.5 games went from like even money to -125 out here, things like that. There was a lot of market support for Oklahoma City, and I think there was a lot of resistance and attraction to the dog, and I think that's what got him there.
Should be back on with us tomorrow as well, so we can go through whatever transpires ultimately tonight. But to that thought process, though, of needing OKC, we've seen our first 5.5 pop up now as we get closer to tip-off. Largely sixes across the board, but DraftKings is at 5.5. Do you think that this continues to go that way and that this was just a move on the will he, won't he of Tyrese Halliburton? And now that we are all assuming that he will play, it creeps down?
Yeah, we're about, 30 minutes away from, was it Shams who reported that? Like, hey, he's going to play. Maybe we're about an hour away from that. But either way, I think we'll see this tepid movement toward OKC. Now, I don't think, toward Indiana. I don't think any of this is really generated from any true support out there for one side or the other. I think almost every move we're going to see here is going to be courtesy of this information that's out there. If, for example, if you like OKC in the spot, you're probably already sitting at -4.5 with that in your pocket. And if you like Indiana, I would agree with Mike. Like, I think I want closer to 8 if you're going to go in there back them, and you're not going to get anywhere close to that. So you've already probably taken 6.5 or just sat back and seen where this has gone, if I can speak English. So I think that generally we'll probably close. I'd say closing number consensus would be 5.5 tonight. Maybe a 5 pops up, but again, even if he plays, again, it's an if right now. It is assumed that he's going to. We all know he's not fully healthy.
Yeah.
How much is that worth to a point spread?
So I'm going to hold out hope and hope that we get to a 5. And then I think if we do see a 5, I will play Oklahoma City. I might even still get on it at the 5.5. Just if it goes to 6 or higher, then we're staying away from it. But if we're at the 5.5 or 5, I'll probably end up playing that today, which is a good lead in as we get to our best bets of the day presented by G-Bank. And if you haven't heard about the trifecta, let me set it up for you. Introducing from G-Bank, First Bet, and VSiN, our $500 trifecta. All you need to do is open a G-Bank Visa signature card. Your first 90 days from account opening, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet. That triggers the trifecta. You get $200 in cashback rewards on your G-Bank Visa signature card. First Bet gives you another $100 in a deposit match, and then VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription, a $200 value there. So that's the $500 trifecta. VSiN.com/G-Bank is how you can sign up and get more information. This is a one-time promotion, though. Limited to customers opening a new account in response to the offer. Will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. Again, vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. Did you fire on anything for the game today? You just doing a live betting approach. Anything there before we move on beyond basketball?
Siakam over 20.5 points.
You rolled with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's really the only thing I feel comfortable. Again, he's had a very good series. He's taken advantage of the smaller matchups. And if we're getting better at it, then, or it's going to be better at it, if we're getting the positive side of it, which is Halliburton is not as fully healthy. That is going to be a increased workload that I think maybe isn't entirely accounted for there. So the volume should go up either way.
Okay, let's head over to baseball, where, again, we mentioned Pirates-Tigers is delayed right now. Twins, an 8-4 lead in the top of the fourth against the Reds. Angels up 2-1 in the Yankees, although it doesn't look like we're getting delayed there, so that'll be good. 2-1 with a lead in the Angels. Two solo shots LA?
Yeah, actually, it did get delayed for like 10 minutes, and then they pulled the tarp
back
off. Yeah, and it looked like
it's like sunshine
out.
And beautiful now all of a sudden. It was dumping out there for a second.
It was. But, yes, Joe Adell and Mike Trout with homers that have given the Angels a 2-1 lead right now. The Yankees have gotten the leadoff runner on both times, so we'll see if they can get some offense. So the offense is at least generating a little bit more like we expected here for the Yankees. We should also note here, too, we talked about the hitting of Mike Trout. Joe Adell, I believe that's his ninth homer in 18 games, somewhere in that range. So he has been mashing for a while, too. It has spoken to how this Angels team has played so well in the month of June. So get those numbers up. We talked about this total. Got bet up to 10. You already got three, and we're in the bottom of the second with no outs.
Okay, it looks like the delay is over, and the Pirates and Tigers is back in action. Rockies Nationals scoreless in the top of the fourth, but three on. Bases loaded right now for Colorado, so we'll see how that ultimately plays out. Okay,
Nationals just got out of it.
Ah, okay. Yeah. All right. So close, but so far.
Yeah.
What do you like on the evening slate? Anything you put in pocket?
No.
Because I know in the article today you just had the Yankees play.
Yeah, I didn't really have anything in Major League Baseball today that really stuck out when you were looking at some of the matchups. Like we talked about with Baltimore and Tampa Bay, that was one that stuck out, but the price moved pretty quick, so you got priced out there. But I will, again, echo that I think Morton's kind of a play-on guy right now.
Okay.
I know the initial surface numbers look poor with the 605, but if you look at his recent form, the guy has been very, very solid. Struck out 10 over 5, gave up 5 hits, and allowed 0 earned runs against the Angels in his last start. Previous home start from there against the White Sox, shut them down over 6 2/3. Went out to Sacramento, gave up 4 in 2 1/3, but pitching out in Sacramento is kind of like, you know, like we're these one of these minor league parks that you draw a line through. The guy's been very, very solid outside of that, and I think this turnaround is pretty legit. So if you're going to go anywhere tonight, it would be Baltimore today.
Okay. The only thing that I am looking at, similar thought process as Tom Byrne last segment on the Giants. He took the money line. He got a way cheaper price than what is available right now. But I like the run line at a plus 130-ish, just backing Logan Webb to get it done against Cleveland. Find it hard to believe that they're going to get swept by the Guardians here on a four-game skid. I think this is a good opportunity to bounce out of it. So,
this offense going to show up?
I think so. And we need it for you. We need it for you.
We got a two-run shot for the New York Yankees. Trent Grisham, just like that. We are 3-2 game. And market at least heading in the right direction with this total. Five runs right now in the bottom
of the
second. And for your
Yankees team total over.
Yes.
On a good trajectory. Let's keep it moving here. Again, those best bets presented by GBank, the official bank of Visa. And we only have a couple minutes left here. We didn't get to talk about it earlier. And this is non-sports related, so I'm sorry if you tune out. But it's a national story, and it's been massive in my world for the last, like, 2.5 years. Karen Reed being declared, like, not guilty yesterday for killing her Boston police officer boyfriend. This whole thing.
No, she didn't do that. Don't say it like
she
that.
She didn't. That's what I'm saying. She's not guilty.
Yeah.
I think justice is served. I was so thrilled yesterday. I've been waiting on pins and needles for this verdict to come through because they had so many verdict slipped issues the last time around.
Uh-huh.
But the way that this whole investigation was, the way that it transpired, all of the little details that didn't make any sense, I'm so happy that this has gone the way that it has. I can't, words cannot describe. I was so invested in this story in Boston for no reason.
Yes. Back-to-back homers for the Yankees, by the way.
There we go.
Paul Goldschmidt, solo home run. It's a 4-2. I dig this kind of stuff, so I'm in. I'll go and check this out later.
I looked it up, five-part
documentary or something like that to go check
on
out.
HBO.
I don't know if I should say this. I feel like I could get away with a crime only because I would not Google stuff. I would be very much, especially if I were to murder somebody and leave them in the snow, I don't think 10 minutes after I would Google how long until it takes you to die in the snow.
Yeah, it's not Karen Reed that did that, though, but someone in the house.
Right.
But all of the things
part of the case, right? Yeah.
They say that they have nothing to do with it. Investigators never actually come into the house. They sell the house. They sell the dogs because he gets supposedly hit by a car by investigators, yet has dog bites all over him. They're collecting evidence samples in red Solo cups, ladies and gentlemen. They're tampering with evidence. They're planting evidence. Ugh.
Do you think you could get away with
the text messages from the lead investigator? Brutal.
How much do you think you could get away with a crime?
No.
No?
I used to think so because I watch way too much crime stuff.
I feel like you're a bad liar.
I used to think I could do it. I'm probably a bad liar. I also shed a lot, lots of hair. So that would be like DNA evidence number one.
You do.
And I would surely have something on me, like a phone, a vehicle, like something that is in your, that's trackable. You know what I'm saying?
Since the
that
new
would
shift.
Ruin it.
Since the new shift, there was one day I came home and my wife was like, what's this? It was like a blonde hair. I was like, I work with a blonde person.
Oh, yeah. See? Yeah. It's all.
She's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I can't control it.
Yeah.
If you want to get any more of this riveting content, make sure you follow us at MoneyMoves_VSiN.
Go Bronx Bombers.
On Instagram, the Money Moves podcast. If you missed any of the show, that's a wrap for us. Rob Point's coming up next.